الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. ما تقدم من كلام المصنف رحمه الله بين فيه أن العبادة هو أن تكون لله وحده لا شريك له، وأن التوحيد الذي بعثت الرسل به هو هذا. وأما توحيد الربوبية وهو أن الله تبارك وتعالى هو الخالق الرازق المدبر، هذا كان يعلمه المشركون الكفار الذين بعث إليهم الأنبياء، كانوا يعلمون ذلك ويؤمنون به، ولكن الشرك حصل منهم في توحيد الألوهية. ثم ذكر المؤلف رحمه الله أنواع العبادة التي لا يجوز صرفها لغير الله تبارك وتعالى. وبدأ اليوم بفصل، واليوم نبدأ بفصل جديد. قال رحمه الله: فصل. إذا تقرر عندك أن المشركين لم ينفعهم الإقرار بالله مع إشراكهم في العبادة ولا يغني عنهم من الله شيئا، وأن عبادتهم هي اعتقادهم فيهم أنهم يضرون وينفعون وأنهم يقربونهم إلى الله زلفى وأنهم يشفعون لهم عنده تعالى، فنحروا لهم النحائر وطافوا بهم ونذروا النذور عليهم فقاموا متذللين متواضعين في خدمتهم فسجدوا لهم، ومع هذا كله فهم مقرون لله بالربوبية وأنه الخالق، ولكنهم لما أشركوا في عبادته جعلهم مشركين، ولا يعتد بإقرارهم هذا بأنه نفاه فعلهم، فلم ينفعهم الإقرار بتوحيد الربوبية. هذا الذي ذكره المؤلف رحمه الله هنا، أن الإقرار بالربوبية وحده لا يكفي، ولا بد أيضا من إفراد الله تبارك وتعالى بالعبادة، ليكون العبد ناجي من الله ويكون موحدا. أما مجرد الربوبية واعتقاد أنه خالق الرازق المدبر، هذا وحده لا يكفي. لذلك حكم الشارع الحكيم على كفار المشركين بأنهم مشركون، مع أنهم كانوا يؤمنون بالربوبية ولكنهم كانوا يشركون بالألوهية. هذا معنى كلامه رحمه الله.
Yeah, Shaykh, may Allah preserve him, began by Allah Azza wa Jal sending the exaltations, the blessings upon the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then he proceeded thenceforth. We have already covered from the words of the author, may Allah have mercy, the issues of the definition of worship, worship being the actions that are dedicated to Allah Azza wa Jal from his slaves, things that he loves and is pleased by, and how the mushrikeen, the policy, were not benefited by their submission to the lordship of Allah Azza wa Jal, that He is the sole creator, the sole sustainer and provider. He is the one that runs the affairs of His dominion and His creation. Although they believed in these aspects of Allah's lordship, this did not save them from the hellfire. This did not move them from being the mushrikeen to Islam. Indeed, their shirk, their polytheism, was in the aspect, the facet of dedicating acts of worship to other than Allah Azza wa Jal. So as regards their worship, not worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, they worshipped other than Him along His side. And so their belief in Allah's oneness regarding His Lordship did not save them and did not make them Muslims. That alone is insufficient. Today we are going to take a new chapter explained by the author. May Allah have mercy on him. He begins by saying, if it becomes clear to you that the polytheists were not created by admitting that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is existent, meaning that along with the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is their Lord and their provider, because of their associating partners with him from his creation in worship, meaning that they worshipped from his creation other than him, and that this did not save them anything from Allah Azza wa Jal, the mushrikeen in the time of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were slaughtering for other than Allah, circumambulating those that they worship beside Allah, making tawaf around them, dedicating certain acts of worship upon them. They would stand upon them in submission and humbleness and abject worship and devotion, and they would prostrate for them and make sujood for them, despite the fact that they attributed the oneness to Allah as regards His Lordship, that He is the sole creator, the sole sustainer, and the one who runs the affairs of all creation. Despite this belief, they acted in such a fashion towards those that they worship besides Allah. And this is why their belief regarding Allah did not benefit them any, because they did not worship Allah solely. Although they believed in His oneness regarding Him being the sole creator and the provider for all His creation, they did not worship Him alone, but rather they worshipped others besides Allah. And so Allah Azza wa Jal counted them as polytheists, mushrikun, and did not count it as anything. It was meaningless that they attributed oneness to Him in the issue of rububiyyah, lordship, because this was actually negated by their actions. Their actions and their dedication of worship other than Allah belied belief. So the issue at heart is the issue of uluhiyyah, oneness of Allah as regards directing the acts of worship coming from the Sahih. Tafadhal Shaykhana, ahsan Allah ilayk.
قال المؤلف رحمه الله: فمن شأن من أقر لله تعالى بتوحيد الربوبية أن يفرده بتوحيد العبادة، لأنها لازمة لذلك. توحيد العبادة، توحيد الربوبية يلزم منه توحيد الألوهية. فمن كان مقرا حقا بأن الله تبارك وتعالى هو الخالق الرازق المدبر، إذن فيلزمه أن يعبد الله وحده وأن لا يعبد معه غيره. وهذا تجده في القرآن كثيرا، يستدل الله سبحانه وتعالى على أو يلزم الله سبحانه وتعالى الذين يعترفون بتوحيد الربوبية يلزمهم بتوحيد العبادة، يلزمهم بتوحيد العبادة في آيات كثيرة. لذلك قال المؤلف هنا: فمن شأن من أقر لله تعالى بتوحيد الربوبية أن يفرده بتوحيد العبادة. فإذا لم يفعل ذلك الإقرار الأول باطل، كحاله وذلك بأنه لم يأتي بلازمه، وقد كفروا وهم في طبقات النار، وقالوا تالله إن كنا لفي ضلال إذ نسويكم برب العالمين. هؤلاء كانوا يقرون بالربوبية ولم تنفعهم من الله، فأنهم لم يسووهم به من كل وجه، لم يسووا الأصنام ومن عبدوهم مع الله، لم يسووهم بربهم من كل وجه، ولا جعلوهم خالقين ولا رازقين، لكن علموا في قعر جهنم أن خلقهم الإقرار بضرة من ضرات الإشراك في توحيد العبادة طيرهم كمن سوى بين الأصنام وبين رب الأنام. قال الله تعالى: وما يؤمن أكثرهم بالله إلا وهم مشركون، أي ما يقر أكثرهم في إقراره بالله وبأنه خلقه وخلق السماوات والأرض إلا وهو مشرك بصفات أو فاعل.
أحسن الله إليك. إذن proceeded on to read the very beneficial words of the author. It says, so then the affair of one who admits to Allah's oneness as regards rububiyyah, His Lordship, is that he should logically follow with dedicating all acts of worship to Allah alone. Because Allah Azza wa Jal, the Shaykh is explaining, is His sole creator, His sole sustainer, the provider of everything that he needs, the one who has the benefit and the harm. So what then is the purpose of worshipping other than he, if everything is underneath his control and command? Indeed, one who does not do so, then he does not truly believe in the first thing that he attributed to Allah. He does not truly believe in the lordship of Allah, although they will admit to it, but where is that which comes logically from, which is dedicating all of worship to Allah alone? And this is why you see in the Quran abundantly and frequently Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leading from this point directly to the next point. Allah will begin by mentioning the Tawheed of Rububiyyah and then address the Mushrikun. Why is it that they are worshipping other than He if they believe that it is He alone that has all the benefit, all the harm? He is the provider of all sustenance. He is the sole creator. Why then should they worship any other than Allah? The author goes on to say, and they knew this when they entered into the hellfire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, تَاللَّهِ إِن كُنَّا لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ إِذْ نُسَوِّيكُمْ بِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. They say, whilst within the hellfire, surely we swear by Allah we were in misguidance manifest, because we used to hold you as equals to the Lord of all creation. This along with the fact that they did not truly hold them as equals with Allah from every facet, in every way, but rather they knew whilst they were in the bottom of the hellfire that although they believed that Allah was the sole creator and the sole sustainer, they did not make these false deities as creators nor as sustainers. Rather, what they did is that they mixed the shirk in the tawheed of ibadah, the tawheed of where they did not worship Allah solely and alone, but rather they worshipped with Him other than Him. And this is what made them the same and the like as those who made the idols equal to the Lord of creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا يُؤْمِنُ أَكْثَرُهُمْ بِاللَّهِ إِلَّا وَهُمْ مُشْرِكُونَ. Surely most of them do not believe in Allah except whilst committing some form of shirk, meaning that most of them will not uphold in their belief in the Lordship of Allah Azza wa Jal, that He has created them and He created the heavens and the earth, except whilst at the same time they uphold the worship of the idol.
قال رحمه الله بل سمى الله الرياء في الطاعات شركا. ما هو الرياء؟ يعمل العبد العمل ويريد من ذلك أن يراه الناس وأن يثنى عليه، ولا يشترط أن يكون رؤية فقط، حتى إن قال قولا وراه من الناس أن يسمعوه ويثنى عليه وكان ذلك القول عبادة، يكون هذا رياء، سواء كان أصل عمله لله أم لا يسمى رياء. لكن هنا المؤلف يقول بل سمى الله الرياء في الطاعات شركا، أن العبد لما يعمل العمل يريد به وجه الله ثم يريد به ثناء الناس أيضا تكون قد أشرك مع الله غيره فيه، مع أن فاعل الطاعة ما قصد بها إلا الله تعالى، وإنما أراد طلب المنزلة بالطاعة في قلوب الناس. فالمراعي عبد الله لا غيره، ولكنه خلط عبادته بطلب المنزلة في قلوب الناس، فلم يقبل له عبادة وسماها شركا، كما أخرجه مسلم من حديث أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول الله تعالى في القدس، يقول الله تعالى أنا أغنى الشركاء عن الشرك، من عمل عملا أشرك فيه معي غيري تركته وشركه، فمن عمل عملا وأراد به وجه الله خالصا، من أراد به وجه الله وأراد به غير الله، أن يكون هذا قد أشرك في عمله مع الله غيره، فيسمى ذلك شركا. فسمى الله التسمية بعبد الحارث شركا، هذا شرك تعبيد بغير الله، عبد الحارث، يجوز أن يعبد أحد لغير الله وينفع المسلمين، كما قال تعالى فلما آتاهما صالحا جعلا له شركاء فيما آتاهما، لما آتاهما ضمير يعود على ما سبق النفس وزوجها، صالحا أي مولودا صالحا في بدنه، جعلا له شركاء فيما آتاهما، فيما له عبد الحارث فإنه أخرج الإمام أحمد بن حنبل والترمذي حديث سمرة رضي الله عنه أنه قال صلى الله عليه وسلم لما حملت حواء وكان لا يعيش لها ولد طاف بها إبليس وقال لا يعيش لك ولد حتى تسميه عبد الحارث فسمته فعاش وكان ذلك من وحي الشيطان وأمره فأنزل الله تعالى الآيات وسمى هذه التسمية شركا وكان إبليس تسمى بالحارث والقصة بالدر المنثور وغيره. هذه القصة رجع أحمد والترمذي قال المصنف وهي قصة ضعيفة بين الإمام الألباني رحمه الله ضعفها الضعيفة 342 واختلف أهل التفسير في المراد في قول الله تبارك وتعالى فلما آتاهما صالحا هل المقصود آدم وحواء أم المقصود بعض أهل الملل السابقة على خلاف بين السلف في ذلك والذي رجحه بعض المحققين أن هذه الآية في بعض أهل الملل وليست في آدم وحواء والذين قالوا هي في آدم وحواء قالوا كان الشرك هنا في الطاعة وليس شركا في العباد أي أشركوا لأنهم أطاعوا إبليس فيما أمرهم به لا شرك عبادة كشرك المشركين ولكن كله قد سماه الله قد سماه الله تبارك وتعالى شركا فإذا كان هذا شرك فغيره كإصرف العبادة لغير الله شرك من باب أولى.
Shaykh then proceeded on to say, from the words of the author, that Allah Azza wa Jal indeed not only has called this shirk, but Allah also called riya, acts of worship. Riya being the slave doing an action that is pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal, an act of worship, because he wants to be noticed by the people, he wants to be praised by the people. And it doesn't be a visible action. Sometimes it can be a saying where a slave says something because he wants to be praised and he wants to be looked at by the people. So whoever does an act of worship, whether he begins it with Allah sincerely or this additional intention creeps into it later, then this is what considered shirk. Considered speaking other than Allah Azza wa Jal is worship. Indeed, the author says, although the one who does an act of worship that seeks only Allah Azza wa Jal with it, this is because the one who does the act of worship did not seek only Allah Azza wa Jal with it, but rather sought position and status in the hearts of the people. So this person who seeks to show off, he has worshipped other than Allah along with him. So his act of worship is mixed and distributed, taking more than one entity. So he sought the position and status in the hearts of the people while seeking the reward of Allah simultaneously, and this worship to be rejected and caused it to be called shirk by Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is found in the hadith from Muslim rahimahullah ta'ala, from the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, surely amongst all the partners I'm the one that is least in need of my share. Whoever does that he seeks me and other than I together in, I leave him and I leave that action. So Allah Azza wa Jal here tells us in this hadith that whoever does something with more than one intention, his intention is Allah, while his intention is other than Allah, then Allah Azza wa Jal will not accept this from him. Allah will reject it and Allah will not look upon it. So the Shaykh explains that this is because of seeking the position in the hearts of the people. Now, he proceeded on to say from the words of the author, not only so, Allah also called naming one's child Abd al-Harith a form of shirk, because al-Harith is not from the names of Allah Ta'ala. This is from the names of the creations of Allah. So calling someone Abd al-Harith, a slave of al-Harith, then this is a form of shirk, as Allah Azza wa Jal said, فَلَمَّا آتَاهُمَا صَالِحًا جَعَلَ لَهُ شُرَكَاءَ فِي مَا آتَاهُمَا. When he gave them a pious child, a goodly child, they made and associated partners with him as regards that which he gave them. And this is in Surah Al-A'raf. However, in the hadith that is found in the book on Ahmad and At-Tirmidhi, from the hadith of Samura radiallahu ta'ala anhu, attributed to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he said, when Hawa, meaning the mother of all mankind, the wife of Adam alayhi salatu wa sallam, became pregnant, and prior to this pregnancy, none of her children survived. Iblis came to her, meaning the shaitan, the devil, and he said to her, surely none of your children will survive in the future either, until you name him Abd al-Harith. So she named the child such, and he survived. He lived. And this was from the inspiration of the shaitan in his command, so Allah revealed these verses, and Allah Azza wa Jal called this type of naming a type of shirk, and Iblis had taken the name Al-Harith. So Abd al-Harith would basically translate as slave of the devil. However, the Shaykh then began commenting on the hadith itself. Although it is found in the Muslim of Imam Ahmad and Sunan al-Tirmidhi, this particular hadith is weak. Many of the scholars have mentioned that it is weak. In fact, in Imam al-Albani, rahimahullah, in a silsila al-da'if, number 342, has shown clearly why this hadith is weak. And so, we do not attribute these words to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Additionally, the scholars here have differed. They did not agree that this is the reason why this verse was revealed. Some of them have gone to the position and taken the position that this is in reference to some of the progeny of Adam from the people of the different religions who acted in this. When Allah gave them a goodly child, they associated partners with Allah as regards the gift that they just received. They did not attribute this gift solely to Allah Azza wa Jal. So this is the position of some of the scholars of tafsir. As for those who mentioned that this is indeed going back to Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, the father of mankind, and his wife Hawa, then those take the position that this type of shirk is not the shirk of worship where Adam and his wife would be considered to have worshipped other than Allah, but rather shirk in obedience, where obedience was given to the shaitan that should not have been given to him. However, at any rate, Allah has called this type. And the author mentions this story is in the book of Ad-Durr al-Mansur and other books. Qala al-Mu'allif rahimahullah faslan.
Qala al-Mu'allif min hadha kulli أن من اعتقد شجر أو حجر أو قصر أو ملك أو حي أو ميت أنه ينفع ويضر أو يقرب إلى الله أو يشفع عنده في حاجة من حوائج جرد التشفع به والتوسل إلى الرب تعالى إنما ورد في حديث فيه مقال في حق نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أو نحو ذلك فإنه قد أشرك مع الله غيره واعتقد ما لا يحل اعتقاده كما اعتقد المشركون في الأوثان. فيقول المؤلف رحمه الله من اعتقد في الشجر أو الحجر أو القمر أنه ينفع أو يضر فهذا يكون قد أشرك مع الله غيره. اعتقاده أنه ينفع أو يضر يكون قد أشرك شركا بالربوبية. والغالب على المشركين أن اعتقادهم في الأشجار والأحجار والقبور والملائكة والجن أنهم يقربونهم إلى الله وأنهم يشفعون لهم وهذا ذلك عبدوهم وهذا الذي عليه غالب المشرك عبدوهم بأنهم يقربونهم إلى الله أنهم يشفعون لهم هكذا كانوا يعتقدون وهكذا جاء في كتاب الله أما من اعتقد لا أحد ينفع ويضر فهذا الشرك في الربوبية. وهذا هذا معنى كلام المؤلف
الله عليكم. The Shaykh then proceeded on and chapter So you'll know from all of this that whoever has a particular creed as regards a certain tree, or a stone, or a grave, or an angel, or a jinn kind from demons, or a certain individual, or a certain individual can benefit or harm, or that he can bring you closer to Allah, or can intercede on your behalf with Allah in one of the affairs that you need from the affairs of the dunya, just by seeking his guidance, or seeking that to bring him forth between you and Allah Azza wa Jal, except that which is mentioned in a hadith that has some words regarding it, regarding the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then this deed is a person who has associated other than Allah with him in worship, and believed in that which is impermissible to believe. The Shaykh comments here, he says, whoever believes in a tree, or a stone, or a grave, or the like, that they can benefit or harm, then this is a person who does not even uphold the oneness of Allah Azza wa Jalla as regards lordship, because he has attributed some of the traits of Allah's lordship to other than Allah. And what is most commonly seen as regards the polytheists and those who worship other than Allah Azza wa Jalla, when they believe in these trees or rocks or graves, etc., they believe that they can them closer to Allah, that worshipping these objects is a means to come closer to Allah, that these objects, these entities, can intercede on their behalf before Allah. And this is found in the text of the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, that these are types of shirk. All of this considered the worship of other than Allah Azza wa Jal, highly abhorred and a great transgression. Subhanahu wa ta'ala.
قول المؤلف أو يشفع عنده في حاجة حوائج السر مجرد التقوى والتوكل على الله تعالى، يعني أن من اعتقد أن أحدا يقرب إلى الله مجرد التشفع والتوسل بأن يدعو غيره أو يدفع له ويعتقد أنها وسيلة إلى الله تعالى فقد أشرك مع الله. وقوله والتوسل إلى الرب كما ورد في حديث فيه مقال في حق النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أو نحو ذلك. الحديث الذي فيه مقال هو حديث الرجل الأعمى الذي جاء إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وطلب منه أن يرد عليه بصره، فقال له النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إن شئت صبرت وإن شئت دعوت الله لك، فقال بل ادعو، فقال قم فتوضأ وقل اللهم إني أسألك وأتوجه إليك بنبيك نبي الرحمة أن تقضي حاجتي. فذهب الأعمى وتوضأ ودعا الله بأن يشفع وبأن يشفع فيه، ودعا له النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فرد الله إليه بصره. فهذا الحديث بخلاف أو صحيح أم ضعيف، المؤلف الله ظهر أنه يذهب إلى ضعفه وغيره من أهل العلم يصححه. على كل حال هذا ليس فيه محذور، لأن هذا الرجل قد توسل إلى الله تبارك وتعالى و بأن يقبل شفاعة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، فالرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم حي حاضر دعا لهذا الرجل فرد الله عليه بصره، وليس بهذا شيء محذور. والمحذور أن يتوسل بالميت، أن يدعوه من دون الله، أو يتوسل بذاته، أو يجعل ذاته وسيلة، فهذا شرك. أما إذا كان حيا حاضر يدعو وطلبت منه الدعاء ودعا لك ليس فيه شيء.
Yeah, Shaykh, may Allah preserve him. He then comments regarding the words of the author, that whoever seeks to get one of the needs and the affairs of his dunya answered by making dua and supplication to one of these entities, a dead person, grave, or the like, and he believes that just by asking this individual, or by slaughtering something by their grave or the like from these acts of worship is enough for them to intercede with Allah Azza wa Jal on their behalf, this is shirk. As for the hadith that is mentioned by the author, saying, except that there's a hadith, however, that is talked about as regards to our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is here referring to the hadith of the blind man who came to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam requesting that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam supplicate to Allah on his behalf. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, إِنْشِئْتَ صَبَرْتَ, you wish you can be patient regarding this affliction. And if you wish, I will make dua on your behalf. Said, rather make dua on my behalf. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught him to make wudu, pray two rak'ahs, and say in part of his dua, O Allah, ask you, and I come to you with your Prophet, the Prophet of Mercy, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I ask, Ya Muhammad, O Messenger of Allah, I come with you to my Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala in this affair of mine that Allah will grant it for me. O Allah, so accept his intercedence on my behalf. The Shaykh here explains there is nothing wrong with this, despite the fact that this hadith is spoken about. Some of the scholars hold it to be weak and others hold it to be authentic. The issue here is that there is nothing wrong with this because the Messenger of Allah is present. He is alive and he is making dua. He is supplicating to Allah on behalf of this man. So this is the similar to you going to an individual and saying, make dua for me, oh my brother. There is nothing wrong with this. This is not from shirk. Although the man came to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he was taught these words, the fact of the matter is the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is alive, is making dua for him, and he is simply asking Allah to accept the dua of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on his behalf. This is not shirk. However, other than that, to use these words with somebody who is deceased, somebody who is not going to make dua on your behalf, to stretch them and take them into other realm where they do not apply, all of this is shirk. Allahu Shaykh.
Qala rahimahullah, fadlan amman yanzuru bimalihi wa waladihi limayyit aw hayy. Yasqut min dhalika ma la yutlaq illa min Allah ta'ala min al-hajat, min afiyah mariidhi aw qudum ghaibihi aw naylihi li ayyi matlab min al-matalib. فإن هذا هو الشرك بعينه الذي كان عليه عباد العصمة. النذر لغير الله هو شرك، أن النذر عبادة والعبادة صرفها لغير الله شرك. فهذه النوع من العبادة هو الذي كان عليه المشركون، كانوا يصرفونها لغير الله لأصنام، فينظرون للأصنام يطلبون من ذلك ما لا يطلب إلا من الله تبارك وتعالى، وشفاء المرضى وقدوم الغائبين رجوعهم إلى أهليهم أو نيل الداعي أي مطلب من المطالب التي لا يقدر على تحقيقها إلا رب العالمين. هذه المطالب تطلب من الله، فيأتي هذا الشخص وينذر النذر في الصنم أو للولي كما يسمونه صاحب قبر، ويدعوه ويطلب منه أمرا لا يطلب إلا منه. هذا هو الشرك الذي كان عليه أهل مكة قبل أن يبعث إليه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
نعم. شيخنا الله يحفظه، continued saying، فضلا عمن ينذر بماله وولده لميت. This is leave alone the affair of those who make the nazar of their money or their child, the one that is deceased or one that is alive, and seeking by doing from that deceased individual only that which can be sought from Allah Jalla wa Ala from the affairs. Shaykh here explains, he says, this nazar that is being performed for this deceased individual or a living individual, actually an act of worship. An act of worship may not be dedicated to other than Allah. For doing so is surely shirk. It's surely from the worship of other than Allah and associating partners with him. The affair that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came and in the early days in Mecca was the affair of the mushrikeen, where they used to perform the nazr for their idols, where they would slaughter by the idols or by the graves, etc. So the nazr is basically to dedicate something or the one that is being worshipped, taking from them a reward, a specific reward, in return for this dedication. So a person will dedicate, for example, money or a child or so on and so forth, hope that their particular need will be met, such as the curing of an ill individual or the return of a traveler or a person who has gone missing, etc. So they used to go to their idols and perform them, hoping that these needs of theirs will be met and granted and answered. So all of these things should only be asked from Allah Azza wa Jal. This is all within the domain of that which can only be performed by Allah just out of the Lord of Power. So today you will see a man coming to an idol, or perhaps coming to what they call a wadi, meaning a pious slave's grave, right? A person who is in their grave deemed pious. They will come to that place, they will dedicate some money or slaughter some animal and give its meat out in charity, and then they will proceed to ask that dead individual to grant them this and that, to cure their ill family member, or to return their missing loved one, or so on and so forth. This is all from the shirk. Subhan Shaykh.
قال رحمه الله والنذر بالمال على الميت ونحوه والنحر على قبره والتوسل به وطلب الحاجات منه وبحينه الذي كانت تفعله الجاهلية الذين كانوا يفعلونه مع الأطلاع. اليوم عباد القبور يفعلونه مع أصحاب القبور الذين يسمونهم بأولياء. هذه العبادات، النذر عبادة والنحر عبادة والدعاء عبادة، طرفها لغير الله شرك. عبادات لا تجوز إلا من الله تبارك وتعالى. هذا الذي كان يفعله المشركون مشركو قريش عندما جاءهم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وقال لهم قولوا لا اله الا الله تفلح. قال وانما يفعلونه لما يسمونه وثنا وصنما. هذا اهل الجاهليه كانوا يسمون من يفعلون لهم ذلك اوثان واصنام. وفعله القبوريون لما يسمونه وليا وقبرا ومشهدا. يغيروا الاسماء. غيروا الاسماء. الأسماء التي كان يعبدها كفار قريش اختلفت عن الأسماء التي يعبدها عباد القبور، لكن النتيجة واحدة، صرف العبادات لغير الله، الأمر واحد. قال والأسماء لا أثر لها ولا تغير المعاني ضرورة لغوية وعقلية وشرعية. فإن من شرب الخمر وسماها ماء لا شرب إلا خمرا، وعقابه عقاب شارب الخمر، وعلى أنه يزيد عقابه للتدليس والشرب في التكليف. فالذين يسمون الخمور اليوم مشروبات روحية، والذين يسمون المعازف أناشيد إسلامية، هذه الأناشيد التي فيها الدرامس وما شابه يسمونها أناشيد إسلامية. تغيير الأسماء لا تغير الحقائق شيء، سمي ما شئت، النتيجة واحدة، ما حرمه الله فهو محرم. هذا شرك، سميتموه مشهدا، سميتموه وليا، سميتموه قبرا، سميتموه صنما، سميتموه وثنا، سميتموه ملكا، سميتموه صحابيا، سميتموه نبيا، فأنكم صرفتم العبادة لا، فقد أشركتم مع الله غيره. هذه نتيجة واحدة. وقد ثبت في الأحاديث أنه يأتي أقوام يشربون الخمر يسمونها بغير اسمها. وصدق صلى الله عليه وسلم قد أتى طوائف من الفسقة شربوا الخمر وسموها نبيذة، أو يسمونها مشروبات روحية. وأول من سمم فيه غضب الله وعصيانه بالأسماء المحبوبة عند السامعين إبليس لعنه الله، فإنه قال لأبي البشر آدم عليه السلام: آدم هل أدلك على شجرة الخلد وملك لا يبلى؟ وسمى الشجرة التي نهى الله تعالى آدم عن قربانها شجرة الخلد جذبا لطبعه إليها وهزا لنشاطه إلى قربانها غرورا له وتدليسا عليه بالاسم الذي اخترعه لها، كما يسمي إخوانه المقلدون له الحشيشة بلقمة الراحة، وكما يسمي الظلامة ما يقبضونه من أموال عباد الله ظلما وعدوانا أدبا، ويقولون أدب القتل، أدب السرقة، أدب التهمة، بتحريف اسم الظلم إلى اسم الأدب كما يحرفونه في بعض المقبوضات إلى اسم النفاعة، وفي بعضها إلى اسم السياقة، وفي بعضها أدب المكاييل والموازين، وكل ذلك اسمه عند الله ظلم وعدوان، كما يعرفه من شم رائحة الكتاب والسنة، وكل ذلك معصوم عن إبليس، حيث سمى الشجرة المنهي عنها شجرة الخلد. فتغيير أسماء الأشياء المحرمة إلى أسماء جميلة ترتاح النفس إليها وتميل إليها هو من عمل إبليس ومن طريقته. وهؤلاء المتبعون له اليوم يسمون الخمر مشروبات روحية، ويسمون المعازف تناشيد إسلامية، ويسمون الربا منافع وفوائد وما أشبه ذلك. كل هذه التغييرات في الأسماء لا تغير الحقائق شيئا عند الله تبارك وتعالى.
Sallallahu alaykum. Sheikh then proceeded on to say, so this nazr is an act of worship, and dedicating it to other than Allah Azza wa Jal is shirk, is associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his worship. And this is exactly people of the Jahiliyyah in the time of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do. And surely they only used to do it, from the words of the author, that which they called him a wathan, or a sanam. So they used it, the nazar, to the idol which they worship. And this is exactly what the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to fight. And he said to them, in response to these acts of worship of theirs, he said to them, say, la ilaha illallah tuflihu. Instead of what you're doing, say, la ilaha illallah, say, surely there is no deity worthy of worship besides Allah, then you will succeed. Then you will succeed. This is the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He also proceeds on and he says, and today, the quburiyun, the grave worshippers, they do the same thing. They perform the nazr, that act of worship, which they call a wali, fear, a person of great status with Allah, or they call it a qabr, a grave, they call it a mashhad, whatever the name, all of this does not change the fact that what they are doing is the worship of other than Allah Azza wa Jal. Whatever the name, the meaning remains the same. The author proceeds, goes on, so the similarity in this particular action of theirs, some of the actions of those who were before them. He says, the names have no effect and do not change the meanings. And something that can be logically deduced through sound thought. And this is something that can also be found in the legislated text. For example, the one who drinks alcohol and calls it water, surely he drank nothing but alcohol. And his punishment as such would be the punishment of one who drinks alcohol. But perhaps he may even be punished further because he is also lying and attempting to use some trickery in this naming. The Sheikh explains here that for these grave worshippers, although they change the names, they call it a grave or a mashhad, an attendant, or a wali, or an angel, or a prophet, whatever it is the same meaning. It is the worship of other than Allah Azza wa Jal being performed rather than performing the act of worship fully and entirely for Allah alone. And this is similar to those who play music and then call it falsely anashid islamiyya, Islamic chants, Islamic songs, Islamic hymns. All of this is just naming. It does not change the meanings. It does not make the haram halal. So name it what you like. Those who, for example, call alcohol spiritual drinks. Indeed, the author continues and he says, it is authentically narrated in the hadith that there will come a people who drink alcohol and name it with other than its name. Indeed, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa and told the truth. For surely people have come from those who are oppressors, from those who are grave sinners, who drink alcohol and call it Nabeev. And surely the first one, the name, a sin with a pleasant name, name something that is displeasing to Allah and brings forth His wrath and anger. The name with a pleasing name to those which hear that name is Iblis. May the curse of Allah be upon him, the devil. For he has said to Adam, Abu al-Bashar, the father of all mankind, Ya Adam, هل أدلك على شجرة الخلد وملك لا يبلى. O Adam, let me direct you to the tree of eternity and a dominion that will never perish. So he called the tree, the forbidden tree, the one that Allah Azza wa Jal has forbidden Adam to eat from and to come close to, he called it what? The tree of eternity. A pleasant name to bring him to it, to tempt him to it, so that he can incite in him interest. And this is the lying and the trickery that he engaged in using it upon Adam to bring him to the sin. This is exactly similar to how the brothers of the devil call the hashish. This is similar to marijuana and other types of drugs. They call it luqmat al-raha, the comforting bite. The person who eats it will find comfort. This is the pleasant name that they name these drugs. And the same as some of the people of zulm, some of the people of transgression and taking that which belongs to others unjustly, they call whatever they take from the monies of the slaves of Allah, although they take transgression and unfairness, they take it, they call it what? They call it admonition or administering good manners. They call it politeness. So they say the politeness of murder. So instead of so they would take money from somebody instead of murder. The politeness of death, the politeness of tuhma. Tuhma being that the person has a certain crime attributed to them and it has to be investigated. So all of this is from changing the name of the transgression they are committing to a nice name. They call it politeness. So they take money from all these slaves of Allah, they call each a type of politeness. In some instances they call it what? They call it benefit. Sometimes siyaqa. Sometimes the benefit of the reaping, meaning of what comes out from the land, benefit of the scales, for those who use scales in their merchandise. So basically they come to all these different types of slaves of Allah, whether they committed a crime or not, they are merchants who have money, and they say to them, where is my benefit, where is the politeness that you owe me? And they take money from them unjustly, simply by force. And all of this is before Allah Azza wa Jal called transgression. Well, this is called crossing the boundaries of Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is very clear to anyone who has even a hint of understanding of the Book of Allah and the Sunnah. And all of this is taken from Iblis. Began this trend where he called the forbidden tree, tree of eternity. So the Shaykh here, he explains, so change the name however you like, all of this will change, not the meaning. Wrong will remain wrong before Allah Azza wa Jalla. Tafaddalu Shaykhana. تفضل احسن الله اليكم. تفضل يا شيخنا احسن الله اليكم.
هذا القدر يا شيخ.
هاي.
اوكي.
لم اسمع. معذره.
اقول نكتفي بهذا القدر حفظكم الله.
الله يبارك فيكم شيخنا جزاكم الله خيرا كثيرا نسأل الله أن يجعل فيه النفع.
الله يبارك.
صلى الله عليكم شيخنا. طيب هل في مجال لبعض الأسئلة شيخنا ولو يعني مثلا قصيرة؟ جزاكم الله في فضلكم. كثير يسأل يقول فيما يتعلق بطلب العلم وكتاب الله عز وجل، هل ينبغي لطالب العلم أن يجمع في الحفظ بين كتاب الله وحفظ بعض المتون العلمية وأشعار العرب الجاهلية وما أشبه، أم ينبغي عليه أن يخصص كل ما عنده من طاقة الحفظ في حفظ كتاب الله؟ ما هو الأولى وما الذي تفضلون؟ أفيدونا مأجورين.
أنا الذي أراه إذا كان الشخص طالب علم يجعل وقتا للحفظ ووقتا للطلب، ولا يكرس وقته كله وجهده في الحفظ فقط، فالعلم ليس حفظا فقط، علم جزء منه حفظ جزء منه فهم، ولا بد من التأصيل، فمن حرم الأصول حرم الأصول كما قال السلف رضي الله عنه، فلا بد أن يكرس وقته في الأمرين وفي الفهم أيضا، فيطلب العلم ويحفظ. وإذا جمع حفظ القرآن مع حفظ السنة مع حفظ أشعار العرب وما شابه لن يبقى له وقت في طلب العلم الآخر الذي هو طلب العلوم الآلة وفهم الكتاب والسنة وما شابه. لذلك أنا أنصحه أن يقتصر على القدر الذي يجعل لبقية العلوم مكانا معه، فإذا كان سيستطيع أن يجعل وقتا للقرآن ثم والوقت الآخر لطلب العلم، وبعد أن ينتهي من القرآن يبدأ بحفظ السنة وهكذا، هذا هو الأفضل، ولا يجعل كل تركيزه على الحفظ، هذا هو الموضوع.
طيب شكرا شيخنا. كذلك سؤال آخر في نفس الباب بطلب العلم، سائل يسأل بالنسبة للمبتدئ في فنون العربية من الناطقين بها، هو يريد أن يحفظ يعني في اللغة العربية متنا من المتون الصالحة للمبتدئين، فهل ينصح لمن كان هذا شأنه بحفظ الملحة؟ ينبغي عليه أن ينزل مثلا إلى حفظ النظم الأجرومية للشنقيطي مثلا؟
والله أنا أفضل نظم الأجرومية يكون أسهل وأنسب للمبتدئين، أما الملحة فهي يعني للمتوسطين جيدة، وألفية ابن مالك للمبتدئين.
الله يبارك فيكم شيخنا، جزاكم الله خير، أحسن الله إليكم.
خلاص نسيتم؟
نعم شيخ، نكتفي بهذا القدر، الله يجزاكم الخير، الله يحفظكم شيخ، نفع الله بكم، الله يرضى عليكم.
السلام عليكم.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.